Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast. Last night, Nicho Hynes won the Dally M medal and did it pretty comfortably in the end by 5 votes. He beat James Tedesco of the Roosters and was 6 votes clear of Ben Hunt. Now, just some news on Ben Hunt as well. News Corp reporting that Hunt has rejected the latest offer from St. George Illawarra, apparently a 2-year extension, which they've bumped up, and he has rejected it. So they're at risk of losing him. Canterbury apparently are knocking on the door through Phil Gould, and Canterbury also been linked to Jaden Sullivan as well there from the Dragons, who's under contract, I think, for a few more years yet. But should Hunt re-sign, he would definitely want out then. Hasn't sort of got up the pecking order there at the Dragons. But Ben Hunt, wow, rejecting the latest offer. So that is of interest. This is going to be a fascinating offset. Well, you've got Cameron Munster. A lot of talent up for grabs potentially November 1, and Ben Hunt looks like he could be one of them.
Well, he's deserving of a big contract still, Ben Hunt, given his performances for the Dragons this year. But it's interesting that he's knocked them back. I still think he'll stay there. I still think that's his preference. And I'll try and work out a deal. And that's how negotiations go. Sometimes they're not that easy, but eventually they get the job done. But I don't think the Dragons can not have Ben Hunt in their squad because of the impact that he has on this team. He's very well respected. He's been their best player now for a number of years, and he's in the prime of his career. And you see what he does at Origin level, albeit in a different position, but he's just as effective as the 7 in this Dragons outfit. So, again, it'll come down to length of contract and the amount of money, but I reckon they'll be able to sort something out.
We've got Luke Prittis coming up shortly. Just, Clarkey, note that Australia have named a squad for 2 T20s against the West Indies to be played in Queensland next week. Cameron Green's still in the squad. He's not in the squad, obviously, for the World Cup. And they've got a stack of players returning, the likes of Mitch Marsh, Marcus Stoinis, Mitchell Starc, Dave Warner's back in that side as well. So Cameron Green in the squad next week, not in the squad for the 2020 World Cup. Conspiracy theory here?
Well, I know if I'm Aaron Finch, I'm not that happy with it, especially if he's going to open the batting. Like, at the moment, Finch is under the pump, and a big part of it is added because Cameron Green's on fire. So I'm not sure what they're trying to achieve. Like, to me, in these 5 games, and I would have thought India would have been the same, you're taking your World Cup squad. This is World Cup preparation. You get that 15-man squad together, and you play your 11 players out of that 15-man squad. But I think there might have been some injuries with players in regards to going to India.
Yeah, Kane Richardson like and Ashton Agar, sorry, pup, as well, aren't in this squad. But
Are they still injured?
I think they're in the World Cup. Well, yeah, so they're going to be in the series against England that's coming up before the World Cup squad. So maybe so he's cover for, I don't know, Kane Richardson, potentially.
He's not a frontline bowler.
Well, exactly, yeah.
So they've kept Cameron Green in. What's the squad for these games against West Indies? Is it 15 or is it 12? You'd think they've got a couple of games up there, don't they?
It's 16, yeah, 2.
But if I'm Finchie, yeah. I don't think I want him playing in the 11. Mm. If he's in the squad, that's fine, but I don't think I want him in the 11. The other thing they might be doing with Cameron Green is keeping him around the group because Mitch Marsh and Marcus Stoinis have been out injured as well. So if one of the all-rounders, Stoinis, Mitch Marsh, Maxwell, gets injured, he's 100% coming in to replace him. And you'd nearly think if a batsman, just a standalone batsman, gets injured, Steve Smith, Aaron Finch, David Warner, he might be the first pick anyway. So they're probably thinking keep him around the squad in case something does happen. But, yeah, if I'm Finchie, he needs some runs in these next 5 games, that's for sure.
Morning, Luke.
Morning, gent. How are we?
Yeah, really well, thanks. And great to have you on the show again. And I guess, firstly, going back to your grand final triumph in 2003, that week into the grand final, what do you feel you got so right, I guess, in your preparation that put you in the best position to win?
I think almost 20 years ago, a bit hard to recall. But to be honest, you win the grand finals by keeping things as close to normal as possible. So I think both sides have sort of got their fan day out of the way pretty early in the week, and it's now just up to the coach and the players to just keep things as they would sort of every other week. I think if you try and think that you're going to come up with some flash play that you haven't done all year and change your tactics in the last week, that's not sort of the right time to be doing that.
Luke, in regards to the Penrith season, once again, it's been extremely consistent. And I guess, what have you made of their preparation leading into being in another grand final? There was a lot of talk when Ivan Cleary rested players, but they just seem fresh. They seem on. They got, you know, they're just about fully fit to select their 17. They've just got their run beautifully. They've set it up beautifully.
Yeah, I think they have. I think they're leading into maybe 2020 and even last year, I think they probably started to have a bit of a downward spiral in the semis. I think they was pretty close to being knocked out last year before they reached the grand final. But this year, I think, obviously, if you keep doing the same things, you get the same result. Ivan and the crew there have obviously just tinkered around a bit, and they've got an improvement, because I think the way that they've performed leading into the semi-finals and during the semi-finals this year, I think they've actually sort of starting to step up another class again. So last week they were probably a little bit flat to start with, and that can happen when you have a week off. But they turned it on and they got the job done well and truly in the second half. And I think this week hopefully will be sort of no different. I don't think they're going to come out there and blow Parramatta off the park in the first sort of 60 minutes. But if they grind it out like they do so well, come that sort of last 10 to 15 minutes, I think if the Panthers are still there, they'll sort of run away with the game.
And I think that's the key, what you just mentioned there too, Prado. They build their game well, Parramatta. Some teams come out and try to blow the opposition away early, and then if that doesn't work, there's sort of no plan B. Whereas for mine, when you look at Penrith, they build and they get stronger and stronger, knowing at the back end they're going to wear teams down, and that's a great strength to have.
Yeah, Loz, obviously, mate, you've played in many grand finals more than me, but that's the strength of a good side, isn't it? I think, because sometimes even if you're not on that week in the game, you know that if you do your job and you've got the confidence in the blokes around you, that if you've got a team full of 7 out of 10 players, but two of or three of those step up to do a 9 out of 10, then you go a long way to winning the game. And that's what Panthers has done for across all their grades. Like, I mean, it's been a great year for the club. They've made the Harold Matthew Grand Final, but they've won the SG Ball, they won the Jersey Flag, or the under-21s. Last week, the New South Wales Cup. I'm involved with St Mary's, and we won the Sydney Shield and the Ron Massey Club, which has that affiliation through St Mary's as well. And they made the semi-finals. So from juniors all the way through, they run the same structures. Blokes that come through, Ron Massey that have stepped up to New South Wales Cup and New South Wales Cup that step up to play first grade, they all know the same structure. So what they've sort of done means that any player can step into that position and know what their job is, and that's what the great sides do. And I think Lozzy, good mates with Craig Bellamy, and that's what a lot of the players down at the Storm say, that you come into the Storm system, it's a simple structure, you know what your job is, so when you get out there, all that's needed from you is to do that job, and everyone else does their job, and you go pretty close to winning your matches.
We're speaking with Penrith Premiership player Luke Prittison. And Luke, to what extent do you feel that, I guess, Penrith needs to win this to cement its legacy of one of the great teams of the modern era, considering their dominance over the last 3 years?
Oh, look, win or lose, I think they've been in 3 grand finals in a row. So I think from a club point of view, this side have sort of cemented their legacy. But I suppose it's more than that as well. It's the whole club. We've been through the times in the 90s where they won or were involved in their grand finals and then sort of slipped away. And the same in our era in 2003, We won that game, then we went back and sort of were one game short in 2004, and then basically the club dropped away again for another decade. So it's important, and I think that commendment to all the blokes, from the top all the way down to the juniors, is that they got the club running well. So hopefully, regardless of what the result is on the weekend, and obviously, you know, we're looking for a good Penrith victory out here, but the club's set up so that, you know, hopefully there's some sort of dynasty-type arrangement that, you know, Melbourne has had over the last years, and the Roosters, that, you know, we're always in the top contenders over the next decade to be in the grand final. That's the success of a good club.
Can you tell us a little bit about the rivalry between the two clubs, Prido? Because, I mean, we're talking about the Battle of the West here, and, you know, Parramatta, I suppose, were always the big brother, and they had the success early on. But it seems as though Penrith now are the big brother. They're the dominant force. And what was it like back when you used to play against Parramatta compared to maybe now?
Yeah, I'm in my first game when I come down from Brisbane and started at Penrith, and I think Parramatta had been in the grand final probably the year before, I think it was. And we played them first up, first game, and all the boys were sort of G'd up because they thought, oh, this is our best chance of beating them. Yeah. And then I remember after the game, had a couple of messages on the phone from Big Wendell saying, how do you like that? Because basically we got towed up about 50-4 or something. So that's what the mentality has always been. Yeah. And you knocked it on the head that, you know, through the 80s and that Parramatta were the big brother, and the Panthers were, I suppose, the poor cousins down the bit further down the M4. But Sydney has obviously grown significantly now, and I think football or rugby league in general is massive out here in the West. And it just has to show through, you know, the number of players that come from the West that are, you know, playing in the NRLW as well. And there's a whole heap of players that I know that coming up from the West that are playing for the Roosters and those sort of sides as well. So it's not only the men, it's the women as well. So in regards to that, I think, as you said, Penrith have overtaken Parramatta, but that's only going to sort of spur Parramatta on to say, well, if Penrith can do it, we can get back to the top as well.
Prido, we talk about Nathan Cleary, and rightly so. I mean, he's a wonderful player, and, you know, we'll be talking about him as one of the elite when his career is finished. But I want to ask you about a bloke like Dylan Edwards. When you first saw Dylan Edwards play, did you think that he'd have the influence or impact on this club like he has?
No, to be honest, I didn't. I think, and you probably even speak to him and others, that, you know, he probably lacked confidence. You, as a spectator, when you used to sort of sit up there with the rest of the blokes, you'd sort of be thinking, okay, well, he's got two or three errors in every game. We just hope that it's not this game that's going to cost us. But I think he's really matured over the last sort of 2 years. And, like, to be honest, I think he's, I've sort of nominated him as my Dally M favourite. Obviously, no, Cleary's going to be in the mix as well. But the way that he's sort of just performed week in, week out for that side, and it hasn't just been, as I said, this year. He's gone to another level, but last year as well. And I think he is one of those unsung players that, you know, he just sits back, he does his job, he runs his 200-odd metres every match. You know, he still has maybe one or two errors in him, but they're not sort of week in, week out now. And, you know, he's backing himself to be a leader in that side. And, you know, the Panthers have a great defensive record. And as you know, Loz, that comes down to your fullback. So he's obviously doing something right there, and he's sort of starved off a couple of players that were putting their hand up for that fullback position over the last few years. And I think he's earned that position. He's a leader in that side. And I wouldn't be surprised if he sort of pulls out a bit of magic on the weekend that gets the boys home.
Luke, really appreciate your time this morning. Enjoy the grand final.
Will do, and go the mighty Panthers.
Get into Totally Workwear Rydalmere for all your workwear gear. We stock the biggest and best brands like King G, Hardjacker, FXD and Steel Blue. Make sure you check out the new Fuse Workwear by King G. It's a must see. Does your business workwear branding need a freshen up? Darren and the team will get you sorted. Open until 7 p.m. every weekday. Totally Workwear Rydalmere, 279 Victoria Road, opposite Bunnings and Macca's. First to open and last to close. We've got you covered.
Just reading a quote here via the Racing Post in the UK from very elegant French trainer Francis-Henri Graffard, who says, the French authorities have put us in a very bad situation, and I'm ashamed by their reaction and the way they have treated my owners and this mare from the day she arrived in France. So certainly controversy is very elegant, is out. Well, just hasn't made the field there for the Arc de Triomphe in Longchamp on a Sunday. Brad Davidson, good morning.
Morning, guys. Yeah, very disappointing news, wasn't it? With obviously heading over there and not getting a start, and then they didn't pay up the supplementary entry there last night. Wasn't put forward after pretty much it was well documented that she was most likely to miss the race. So, look, she's going to be there in a Group 1 over 2,800 on the day, I believe. But, yeah, to miss out on the arc seems a bit silly. I mean, her rating, I think, dropped, what was it, 7 points in two starts. Seemed to drop way too much for mine. And I don't know how they rate things and whatnot too much over there. But I think that the trainer, you know, he obviously, as you said, just read that comment out there. He's quite upset and disappointed by the whole process. And I think everyone in Australia is as well. I mean, you know, we've got a horse that's been an absolute champion in Australia for the last, you know, four seasons. She's won, you know, so much prize money, so many Group 1s. I mean, what else can you really do? I know she hasn't been at her absolute best the last 12 months or so, but I've maintained that I think she's just been looking for a staying trip. Sure, her best, absolute best might be beyond her, but I think she deserved a chance in that race, and not having her there takes away from the race for mine, and it's very disappointing, but probably doesn't surprise me too much a lot of the time. I don't understand what goes on in a lot of overseas races in terms of getting into races and things like that, but very frustrating news there for very elegant fans.
Davo, what's the forecast for today, buddy?
Yeah, Clarky, it doesn't look as bad as what everyone was thinking. It's happened to quite a few times lately, to be honest, but you know, we were supposed to get rain overnight. There wasn't much really in that, and having a look at the radar, they're going to get showers today across Randwick and across Sydney, but look, tomorrow 8 to 10 mil, Saturday 5 to 10 mil, so really they're having an each way bet, aren't they? And I know a lot of people get into the Bureau of Meteorology, but geez, tough job. I mean, I do sympathise for them, because you do look at the forecast, and some days you could get no rain, but 10 kilometres down the road could get, you know, 20 mils. It's just the way Sydney, these storms seem to just appear out of nowhere, and they're very isolated, and they hit certain parts of Sydney and miss others. And, you know, a great example yesterday was Rose Hill being a good four and Randwick being basically a heavy eight. So it's the way it goes. And I do feel for them a lot of the times, because they cop a lot of stick. But, look, I think we'll get showers today and most likely a few showers Friday and Saturday. So I think we'll be on a heavy track to some degree, but we know it's a bit warmer at the moment, and that's going to help those tracks dry out. Randwick's been terrific in its drying capabilities of late as well. So, look, I think probably maybe a heavy nine, something like that we might be working with. Hopefully not a bottomless track there on the weekend.
The Everest is starting to take shape, Davo. Got another horse locked in for it?
Yeah, we do, Loz. Overpassed, the latest to be locked in there. It was sort of well documented this horse would be part of the field, and they made that announcement yesterday. Can he win the race? Not for mine. I know he ran second to Nature Strip in the shorts there the other day, but I got the feeling he was ready to rumble to get a slot, and the others have got a bit more improvement to come. I mean, he's a good horse, but you go back, he's beaten five lengths in a TJ back in April, and I think that's probably around his level at this stage. He's got to, you know, find a bit more on grand final day, and I'm not sure he can, but it is that sort of race this year. I think there's only really three or four hopes, and the rest are sort of fighting for maybe third to 12th spot. So he might be one of those, but we get another look at him this weekend, and who knows, if he can back it up this weekend and run really well in the Premier Stakes and win it, then maybe he has made that improvement necessary. But yeah, at this stage, I think he's probably more a sort of top six, top seven hope than a winning hope.
Got some homework for you, mate. Foxy looks like she's going to run on Saturday at Flemington. Good.
Gee, you and Clark. Between you and Clarkie, I mean, just Saturday.
Doing it tough, aren't they?
Coming out everywhere. Yeah, exactly. We'll just, you know, I'll just keep trying to battle to win a race at somewhere during the week. But you guys can have the, I'm sure it'll be, what are we targeting, Loz? The big race is coming up. Terrific run first up. And I look forward to having a look at that race and giving you my thoughts tomorrow.
Looking forward to your mail tomorrow, Davo. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast. Tonight, it is quarterfinal time at the Women's World Cup of Basketball, and Australia are $1.10 favourites, or 12.5-point favourites at the line against Belgium, who are $6.50. And that game is 8:30 tonight. Stacks of Markets open at tab for that one. Gee, USA don't even have a head-to-head price, because theoretically they'd be shorter than $1.01. They're 31.5-point favourites at the line, though. and they're up against Serbia. That's at midday today. Serbia 20-1 chances in that. All those quarterfinals being played today. Canada $1 against Puerto Rico $14. China $1.09 against France $7. So the Opals, if they win tonight against Belgium, play the winner of that China France game. Now the Racing League is off to a fly with 14 winners from 12 runners to the track across the three eastern states. So that's an extraordinary strike rate. And you can join the fun. TRL is giving you the chance to win four VIP tickets to the Moed and Shandong Garden for Epsom Day at Royal Randwick this Saturday. $500 cash plus. There's two NRL Grand Final tickets up for grabs as well. So don't miss out as entries close today. This Thursday, today, 5 p.m. And entry is free. Just go to trl.net/Epsom. That's trl.net/Epsom. AFSL license 223671. How are you, Mossy?
I'm great, Mido. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you, mate. Always good in grand final week. And also A-League's launch week it was, wasn't it? Season starting next week, but had the launch for the A-League's seasons coming up.
Yeah, that's right. APL CEO Danny Townsend has labelled it a genuine reset after a couple of seasons of severe COVID impact on the competition. So we've finally got a draw that is set in stone, which is fantastic from a fan engagement point of view, everyone knowing when the games are on. And that will help the broadcast partners as well at Paramount Plus, of which I'm looking forward to playing my small role as a co-commentator again. So, there's some real excitement around the A-League season, and there's a few reasons for it, and we know that we've got a lot of work to do, to really capitalise. But I think with the two World Cups, obviously the men's in Qatar in November and the women's on home soil next year, but I think the big one that's really going to help the A-League start with a real flourish is those World Cup spots up for grabs. Those seats on the plane to Qatar. Graham Arnold came out the other day and said that that wasn't the final selection trial against New Zealand. The first few weeks of the A-League is going to be absolutely critical to those players, and of course the players who are overseas need to find or maintain form. The big thing for me, Mido, coming out of the New Zealand series was our, the physical side of what I saw. I think players need to be fitter. I think they need to be stronger. New Zealand, with all due respect, is not France. It's certainly not Denmark. We really need to step up. So players need to work very, very hard on their strength and their fitness leading into this World Cup selection.
I think we've lost Clarkie's audio there.
Yeah. Well, you got me there. Sorry,
yeah,
is that better?
Got your pup.
Sorry, mate. Mossy, I was going to ask, you mentioned a number of positives in and around the A-League. What are we doing to get crowds back?
Well, that's a really good question, Clarkie. We should get Danny Townsend on for that one. But from what I can see from the outside looking in, obviously the signing of Nani, Charlie Austin, Nani at Melbourne Victory, of course, Charlie Austin at Brisbane. Dwight York, I think, even though he's a coach, he's the way he set his... He's a big name, obviously, but the way he set his team out to play. And I think the players that he's got there, the likes of De Silva, Arzani, of course, De Villa, those players will set the league alight, whether they're home games or away games. So there's a few things around that, but I think the big one is the amount of money that the APL is going to spend on promoting the league and the players. And there's a doco series coming out, all access doco series on the star players, the clubs, Sydney FC. There's a behind the scenes thing on them. So it just brings the crowds closer. And what we need to do is make heroes of the players to drag the kids along to games, who obviously then bring their parents as well. So a lot going on behind the scenes and a lot of spend going into it as well.
This is probably for a different time, but has the funding model changed at all?
The funding model for the game?
Yeah, as in the grassroots.
Well, not that I know of.
Because they usually fund it, don't they?
Yeah, that's right. But what I do know is there's a lot of money in the bank at the APL level because of the private equity deal with Silver Lake. So we've got more money at the top level than we've ever had in the bank. It's now up to Danny and obviously the APL and the owners how they spend that, and it needs to be spent wisely to promote the game. So while the model hasn't changed, to the best of my knowledge, there certainly won't be such a drain on the funding from the bottom up because there's money at the top.
Yep, no, that's perfect. Is it possible, Mossy, that the Mariners could have two players from their squad represent Australia at the World Cup?
Absolutely. We saw Cummings and Quoll get their debuts for the Socceroos against New Zealand over there on the weekend, and both, in my opinion, both put their hand up for possible selection. They've still got a lot more to do to get a ticket on the plane. I think let's take Cummings first. He certainly added something when he came on, the physical presence that he has. He doesn't get intimidated by a stage that he's on. He hasn't done enough for me yet to get a ticket, but certainly if he starts the season well and he's scoring goals, he's going to make it very hard for Graham Arnold to leave him out. And Quoll, who we believe, and Mido, I know you're going to talk to me about this, but we'll bring it in now. Quoll is in England at the moment, and there is an agreement in principle to sign for Newcastle United in the EPL from January, in the January transfer window, and apparently he will be loaned out to somewhere in Europe as soon as he signs. So really what that does is bring back the focus on Quoll to start the A-League season. He still hasn't started a game, the kid. And you can see he's still physically, from a strength point of view, got a long way to go. But he makes things happen. He's an exciting prospect. He's got pace that you can't coach. He could just be a joker in the pack, with all due respect for the World Cup. But if you ask me right now, is he ready to board the plane for a World Cup to play against France, Tunisia and Denmark? The answer would be no. But is that the type of player we take a chance on? It could well be, but there'll be other players putting their hand up for that spot as well.
Is Arnie a sort of a gambler when it comes to selections, or is he more conservative, Mossy?
I think if you ask the general public, they'd say he's more conservative.
Right.
But I know he's got it in him as well to take a punt on kids, because we've seen it at the Mariners. We saw it at Sydney FC. If you just look at the number of young players that he's produced into Socceroos over the years, there's no doubt in my mind that if he's got faith in Quoll to handle it at that level, he'll take him. We've had players in the past who have gone to the World Cup and not played a minute, but the experience has set them up for a great career. But with Quoll, somehow, it defies belief sometimes, but somehow he makes something happen just about every time he touches the ball. So that would be very tempting for Arnie. But Daniel Arzani's one that I've got my eye on. If he starts the A-League season really well for MacArthur, then he will be very tough to leave out, because all his injury woes, we saw what he did in the A-League before he left for Europe, then came a cropper with an ACL injury at Celtic. If he's fit and firing, creating and scoring goals in the first six rounds, he's going to be very hard to leave out of that squad.
Tips time. Let's start with the Australia Cup final. Saturday night, Combank Stadium, MacArthur FC $1.20. Sydney United $15. The draw $6.50 with tab. That's the 90-minute market, of course. What's your prediction in this fixture?
Yeah, I'm not sure Sydney United should be $15, but clear favourites are MacArthur, and I'm going to, this will break the hearts of NPL fans and anyone looking for a major cup set. I think MacArthur will have too much on the day. They've got some real match winners, but Sydney United to be in this position is just unbelievable, and it's such a boost for semi-professional football. Bringing professional and semi-professional together as a game. It's going to be a wonderful spectacle. It'll be a rocking atmosphere out there at Combank Stadium. And Dwight York, I think, will get his hands on his first piece of silverware as a coach in Australia.
Give us the correct score, Bossy.
I'm going to go with 3-1. I think Sydney United have got enough to maybe breach the MacArthur defence. But I think MacArthur will have too much. So 3-1 in 90 minutes.
Okay, that's paying $9. 3-1 MacArthur FC, $9 with tab. Premier League's back, thank goodness for that. I love this fixture. Arsenal-Tottenham, North London derby. Two fans that absolutely despise each other. And Arsenal $2, Tottenham $3.60, the draw $3.70. It's the 9:30 game Saturday night as well.
isn't it brilliant? I do love this fixture, even as a Liverpool fan.
Yeah, they are
part of my four-legger, and it is great to have the EPL back. There's a real void during the season when it's not on. But you've also got the Manchester derby as well, Manchester City and Manchester United on Monday morning our time. So I'm going with Arsenal to get over Tottenham, Liverpool to beat Brighton, Chelsea to beat Crystal Palace away, and Manchester City to win the Manchester derby.
Four-legger from Mossy. Arsenal to win the North London derby, Liverpool to beat Brighton, Chelsea to beat Crystal Palace, Manchester City to win that four-legger, $6.89 with tab. What else is going on, Mossy? Have we missed anything?
No, I think that's about it. Well, there's plenty, actually. Harry Kane apparently is the number one target for Bayern Munich in the January transfer window. Tottenham want to re-sign him. He's still got another year and a half left on his deal, so that'll be an interesting one. The other one, actually, Mido, Barcelona have come out and said it is financially possible for them to re-sign Lionel Messi because he'd be a free transfer. His contract's up at the end of this season with Paris Saint-Germain. So he'd go back as a free transfer. He's 35 now. Don't put it past them to pull off a miraculous comeback in Barca colours to maybe retire at the club that he's made such a name for himself at.
Yeah, I suppose it would be appropriate. Mossy, thank you so much.
Have a great day. Cheers, guys.
Tomorrow's going to be a huge show, of course. Grand final, tips galore. We've got Tab Epsom Day at Randwick. We've got Tab Turnbull Stakes Day at Flemington as well. The Tab Edward Menafold, which we anticipate Foxy Cleopatra to be having her second start in. And we want your calls for all your predictions for grand final evening on Sunday night, Penrith and Para. Your Clive Churchill medalists, your margin, pick the score. For those who want to play footy Tab as well, get involved. So tomorrow, 13:53:53, keep them coming nice and early throughout the morning. Huge show. And Loz, what a weekend you've got. Foxy Cleopatra into the grand final.
Oh, doesn't get much better than that, Mido. Oh, I'm just looking forward to the weekend all round. Just hopefully the rain stays away. Hopefully on Sunday it's a game played in good conditions. We see the best of both teams. That's what I want. I want both teams to bring their best. Because, you know, I think that if Penrith win, they'll just confirm that they've just been, the best team in the last 3 years and go down as one of the great teams of all time. And then you've got Parramatta, who can break this hoodoo of 36 years. And you know if they win, how big it will be, because the supporter base that they have is massive, and it'd be a good thing for the game if they could win their first premiership since 1986. And then, you know, just so many wonderful storylines to come out of it, regardless of which team wins.
We've already got a tip here. Morning, boys. Laurie, I've got a tip for you in the Kosciuszko. La Melody. Get on now at $21, my brother. Oh, my brother is in it as a part owner, sorry. Ring tomorrow from Duffy, your biggest fan. La Melody, I think, got a start yesterday. Won a class 3 at Tamworth last start, over 1,000. Dave Stanley, morning to you.
Morning.
Cody Morgan trains that horse.
Yeah, and beautiful segue, because Cody's going to be joining us on the program, gents, a little bit later on. How about this for a lineup today? I know that we've got the Epsom Metropolitan here in Sydney, plus big races south of the border. So we've got James Cummings on, Chris Roots, Rachel King, Willie Pike and Cody Morgan. And we're also going to chat with Molly Rose from Race New South Wales. So those participants of Cummings, King, Pike and Morgan, I think are going to be able to steer us into a winner, surely.
Mate, what about the Rudy yesterday? I pulled up in the car park, all right, at the same time.
Yes.
All right, and he was putting his tie on and we were having a bit of a chat. And he loved it because he's got a bit of a swagger.
He does.
When he walked in through the gates.
Well, he would have loved
it. What about this? Ask him about people coming up going, what do you like today? And he's just rattling them off. You know,
he would have loved that.
Such
he
a touch in the fourth.
And so did you walk in together? Because he's a mad he's a mad raider.
Yeah, we walked in together.
Oh, mate, he's a mad raider. He would have he would have loved that.
But you should have heard him, mate. There would have been about six or seven people. What do you like today? And he just and it was the thing. The thing I noticed though, he didn't give the same tip.
So they're changing.
Yeah, he went from race six. Race one, race three. So he had all the program picked.
Oh, as long as he's not tipping.
No. He didn't tip against. Tip different horses.
In the same race.
But he had different horses in every race. And I thought, ooh, he's on today, the Ruder.
Boys, I'm not sure if we've spoken about it in the morning, but it came up yesterday. There were a couple of young fellas there and they've booked their tickets to the Golden Eagle and also the Big Dance, which is, of course, on Cup Day at Royal Randwick. This band, Rudimental. Now, I'm a big rap for them.
They're good.
Big rap for them, Loz, Pup.
I know that I've heard the band.
Mate, I'm telling you. You know, I know how you go to these rugby days, these ladies' days.
Here we go.
Mate, get yourself in the mounting yard at Randwick when it comes to... Go away, Loz. No, I'm just saying, this was the theatre of the horse. Get yourself to the theatre of the horse when it comes to... when it comes to the Cup Day of the Big Dance, because I've seen these guys twice at two festivals.
They're good.
Great ratios, Pup.
Love it.
Great ratios and can perform. It is. It's you're a shocker, Loz. I'm telling you. But they are, honestly. That's
that good.
They're that good. They're love very it. Very good. And I suggest everyone go and have a listen to them, because that's exactly what you want. You want to have a big day at the races, and then you want to be able to enjoy some entertainment after the last.
It's a long weekend, yeah.
Is it the lot? It's coming up. It's not too far away. No, but I'm saying, Middow, I'm just saying. And for those out there, because there are a couple of young blokes there yesterday, and they said, "Well, this Rudiment will be good, Stano. You've been talking him up." And I just said, "Listen, it'll be good."
When did you? Oh, you said Big Dance and Golden Eagle.
I said, "Listen, this will be good.
It'll be good. No, they will be good. I'm telling you, and that's what we'll get. They'll be up and about."
Do we know who's playing at the Everest?
No, it's so I asked this yesterday to a few people. That's TBA, and not. I think they've got it locked in, but there's going to be a big announcement. Okay. They're looking at making a big announcement. What are you giggling at, Loz?
We've lost him.
What are you giggling at, mate?
Oh, mate, you. I love you.
You're just giggling
away.
I
love when you come on.
Just giggling away. Well, Pup, you would have heard of Rudimental.
Never heard of them.
You've never... Well, mate, I'm telling you, you would have. I guarantee you.
Yeah, I'll probably know some of their songs, but I haven't heard of them.
There's one song in particular. Yeah. I'm sure we had it playing at your place one night.
Yeah,
anyway.
100%. honestly, Pup, when we get closer to these races, we'll start, you know, putting the songs on.
Love it.
And maybe there might be some openers or whatnot, and you'll know. You'll be like, oh, that song.
Yeah.
They've worked with Ed Sheeran. They've worked with... Yeah. They're massive
like
in the
you,
UK.
Though. I'm often now... I don't know. You know the song.
Why don't you put the song on and go, oh, yeah,
I don't know the names of the bands half the time. Or the DJ or whatever.
But I think that's good. They do it in America. Like in America, boys, just to give you an idea, and I think they're going to start doing it here more often. So I know that at Del Mar, they have, like, you know, which is in Del Mar, that's on the...
where the surf meets the turf.
It's on... Oh, no, I was going to say it's on the West Coast, which is right. Yeah, it's
San
near
Diego
California.
Way.
The Chili Peppers. I know Will's giving me the wind-up, but how good would that be? No, Will, I'm saying, imagine going to the Tab Everest Day and then the Chili Peppers come out.
Like how good,
what are you winding me up for? Jamie's not here anymore. We don't need to get to Jamie. It's just Air News. Anyway, James Cummings is coming up. I'm up and about. I'm in fine form for the public.
You're going to get a Jono in a minute.
Oh, fellas.
See you, Dennis.
See you, Pup.